Okay, if I could have your attention, please. Now that everybody's finished lunch, I'd like to get into our keynote speaker. First, I'd like to thank our sponsors who were so generous to support this this presentation. So, if you have room here for Color Biotics, I know you're there. I see you. Premier Tech, Grace, and Trinity. Thank you all for your tremendous support. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Lowell Catlett from the University of Arizona. I heard, you can read his resume here in the program, but I heard Dr. Catlett speak a year ago. And, you know, you hear a lot of presentations and they just come and go, and if you can remember them a week later, surprise, a month later, and I'm using things this man said a year later. He's got a unique way of looking at life, the economy, the society that we live in, and I think you're going to find it very realistic, very true, very revealing, and very useful for at least the next year. So I'm very pleased to invite Dr. Catlett to the podium.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Thank you for doing what you do. Hopefully, before we're done today, I have convinced you that you're in the right business, because I think there's some great opportunities for you. Bob is very kind, didn't give you the total resume on me. Let me complete it. I grew up on a ranch in the Panhandle of Texas, up northwest of Amarillo. Dalhart's the closest little town, if you know Texas. It's not like this part of Texas. There's trees here, so there are no indigenous trees in the Panhandle of Texas where I grew up. But I grew up in that part of the world. When my late father passed away, my mom remarried a few years later, married another rancher, and so she lives now down by Clarington, Texas. And so on Mother's Day last year, she coincidentally turned 82, so my wife and I drove up from southern New Mexico to be with her on Mother's Day and on her birthday, and the opportunity presented itself for me to play a practical joke on her, so I did. I don't miss those opportunities. And so here's this 82-year-old woman on her birthday on Mother's Day looking at her 60-year-old son who's just played a practical joke on her, like, "Why are you doing this to me?" And I said, "Oh, Mom, the older I get, the more eccentric I get." She goes, "No, Lo, from the day you were born, you've been weird as hell." So, I'm weird as hell. I see the world totally kind of bass-ackwards. And one of the things I see bass-ackwards is this whole ethanol thing. I don't know about you, and it's not that it's carbon neutral and all that kind of stuff. It just, I don't know about you, it just breaks my heart to see good corn liquor being put in a gas tank. You know? I just don't understand why we waste good corn liquor that way. But in any event, and when my late father passed away in 1991, though, not too long after that, my mom asked me if I wanted to ranch. And I said, "No, Mom, I really don't. Ranching is a lot like work. I really don't take to it too good. I really don't want the ranch." I said, "But really, Mom, the real reason I don't want the ranch is truly where I grew up was the epicenter of the Dust Bowl. One of the great tragedies of humans on the environment. It was just right, I mean, truly the epicenter. The wind blows incessantly, the sand." I said, "Mom, I can't stand it. It drives me to drink. And as my wife tells me, that's a very short trip. I can't stand it." That was 1991. Last year, I went to a wind energy conference in Oklahoma. I was visiting with a gentleman that does the leases for the very large wind generator. We were talking about where we grew up, the people we knew, and he said, "Lowell, I know I signed up the ranch that abutted the one you grew up on to the south for 100 wind generators. Double capped, meaning a minimum royalty of $10,000 up to a maximum of $30,000 each 100. Have you done the math? I'm not only weird as hell, I'm dumber than a post. Trying on that trip home from Oklahoma City, I was trying to assuage my feelings about how stupid I was. And all I could come up with was this. A generation mathematically is 19 years. And all I could come up with was this. what I saw less than a generation ago, 18 years to be exact, is nothing but an absolute negative. In slightly less than a generation, becomes a revenue stream. Futures are a lot like that. Okay? So, what we see sometimes is bad, just sometimes turns around, and we don't even know. So, but let me try to frame the economy, if I can, for just a second. And you got to understand something. I'm an economist. We don't have a precise definition of just about anything in the economy. Okay? We don't know how to. We don't have a precise definition of a recession. Ask two economists, you'll get two different answers. Ask 20, you'll get 20 different answers. We don't know. We have no idea what a recession is. We basically just say things slow down.
Okay. No one in a recession.
Yeah. So you can define it lots of ways. If you define it by the gross domestic product not changing from growing every calendar year on calendar year, then we've only had one recession since 1948. And that was this one. Okay. If you define it that way. Because every calendar year on calendar year, since 1948, the gross domestic product every year has done what? It's grown. Okay. This last recession, it fell 1.2%. So if you define a recession by every year, we've only had one since 1948. If you define it by a couple of quarters when the gross domestic product doesn't grow, which is kind of the standard definition, but nobody agrees on it, okay? If you define it as we just have a couple of quarters where the gross domestic product, the measure of our output, doesn't grow, then in the last 80 years we've had 14 of them, okay? Okay. So, my point of them is, they're a natural part of who we are. You can't sprint all the time. People just have to do what? We just pause. We not only don't know how to define them, we don't know what caused them. Everybody has their opinion, and whether you lean left or lean right, doesn't matter. We, as a profession, we haven't figured out what caused them. I know you're sitting there going, well, what damn good are you? And I don't know. Because my late father, who was a pretty pragmatic rancher in Panhandle, Texas, said to me about my PhD in economics, they done went and educated all the intelligence plumb out of you. But more importantly, I think probably the best economist ever was probably Shakespeare. Because Shakespeare told us almost 500 years ago in a play called The Tempest, the past is prologue. I mean, if you really want to try to figure out what people are going to do in the future, the best way to figure them out is understand, as my late father used to say, you can't change spots on a leopard. Human nature and behavior doesn't change very fast. Okay? So I think Shakespeare probably had the best way to view the economy. Past is pro, okay? And I say that to try to frame the economy this way, okay? I've been giving some form of this presentation for almost 40 years. I'm 61 now, for almost 40 years, and it started with my generation, baby boomers, when we got out of college, okay? We were the first mass-educated generation that ever existed, okay? 10% of my father's generation got to graduate from high school, 4% graduated from college. They were kind of busy. Great Depression, World War II. But my generation got to go in record numbers. 62% of us went to college, 1/3 of us have a college degree, 15% an advanced or professional degree. First mass educated generation, okay? And as we started getting out of college, my profession, economists, we came out of the woodwork. Oh, there just won't be any jobs. We've never been able to, we just can't give that many jobs. We've never had that many educated people. There'll be PhDs driving taxi cabs. We just can't. Because we turned out so many engineers, guess what? We landed 3 years later the first of 12 men to walk on the moon. And by 1970, we created the world's first $1 trillion economy. By 1977, we created the world's first $2 trillion economy. And we've added $1 trillion to the economy every 4.3 years on average since then. But boy, if you listen to economists, it was, there's no jobs for all those people. We just went to work. Okay. Didn't have any damn choice, okay? And we did, okay? Now, I have no PowerPoint. This is up. This is all the hell you can get out of it. This is up. This is down. This is I'm weird as hell. Point after all those 14 recessions, what's happened to the economy? Gone to hell in a handbasket or what? It don't matter whether you lean left or lean right. Don't get caught in that trap. Because trust me, if leaning left or leaning right could impact the economy, they'd be doing a hell of a lot more of it, okay? It's the economy of the people in this room. We get up, we change, we slow, we do whatever, but in every single case after every one of those recessions, what's happened to the economy? Folks, we entered this one, the worst one, truly the worst one, since 1948, okay, of those 14. When we entered it, our economy was $14.1 trillion, and today it is $14.7 trillion. We just had the worst recession we've ever had since 1948, and the economy's done what? Because of this, okay? We just get up every morning and what? Go to work. Okay? Now, we hadn't done some things, would it grow faster? Yes. Canada, I know there's some Canadians in here, you have probably the strongest economy right now of any developed nation on the planet, okay? Because you didn't have a housing bust, okay? And because you didn't have a housing bust, your economy's growing about 1% faster than ours is. But it's what? A little bit faster, because you're not trying to work off over 1 million excess housing units, okay? We still got a little while to go to work them off. You didn't have that. So your economy's what? Actually, it's... okay? But it's... Okay? Not trying to make light of it, okay? My first job out of college, the only one I could get, minimum wage. Not afraid to tell you, $1.65 an hour. Not afraid to tell you, I didn't like it worth a damn. Did I work hard to try to improve it? Yes. See, I have an expression that says it this way. Bull markets make idiots out of everybody. Because when things are so lush and so plush and so bullish, what do? We get lazy, we get kind of, what? We just kind of go, oh, it'll work. Only when things get tight does necessity, the mother of invention, kick in. And what do? I can do it cheaper, better, different. Okay. Did you know last month we had the largest number of new business starts in 11 years? Because we had a tough time and people said, what? I got to figure out a way to do this different, cheaper, better. Not wrong or right, it's just, we do it. Okay. Average American, actually, for you Canadians, it's the same. Numbers are almost identical. Average North American, 13 days of annual leave, vacation time. Our friends in the UK, the Brits, the Welsh, the Scots, the Northern Irish, they get 27. French get 38. We get 13. Raw number doesn't matter. What matters is if. Give you 13, you take on average 6. I give you 13 and you do what? You just take 6 because we don't know how to do anything but what? Go to work. My late father used to say to me on the ranch all the time, Lord, when you're done whining, cows need to be fed. We just go to work. Okay. We've done it after everyone. 14 recessions. Not making light of them. Are we going to have another one? Kind of. It's who we are. We pause. We take a break. And then we do what? After everyone, we come back what? Stronger, faster, different, better. Okay. Those 14 recessions also occurred when we had a little thing called World War II, where 488,000 Americans lost their lives, 1 million casualties, 60 million people died in the world. Followed up very quickly by the Silent War, Korea, 38,000 Americans lost their lives on that one. My generation's war, Vietnam, 58,218 names on that beautiful monument in Washington, D.C. First Desert Storm, 127. Currently, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan has claimed 5,498. Tragic, all of them. But freedom is not free. Okay. We did all of those and had 14 recessions, and now we're standing at what? A $14.7 trillion. What do you think the future? Because remember, baby boomers, we just went to work. And then remember the first energy crisis, any building ever remember that one? Gasoline goes from 32 cents a gallon to 64.
And we go, oh my God, boy, my profession comes up. We've never had a natural resource double in price before. It'll shut everything down. We just can't adjust to it that quick. And if it goes to $1, the economy will die. And it did, and it didn't. And if it goes to 2, oh sweet Jesus. 3, oh my God, 4, nuclear. When gasoline got to $4, most Americans go, I'm keeping the Hummer. It's amazing how we adjusted to $3 gas. I'm making light of it. I don't like to pay it, but you know what? We adjusted. And let me tell you why and how we adjusted. And Scientific American gave a beautiful example of it 2 months ago. And they did it with a little circular diagram and showed this. You want to pay for your food, and you pay for a roof over your head, and you pay for your utilities. Are you sick? You got a roof over your head, you're not dying from exposure, are you with me? You got enough electricity and gasoline to keep you from not dying from heat and cold, and you got food in your belly. That's called the basics of life, are you with me? To provide that in North America, or Canada and the United States, it takes 42% of our income. The second largest economy, Japan, takes 62% of their income. Europe is pretty solid, takes 67% of their income. And for the world, it takes 98%. And there's a bunch of countries that are impoverished, and it takes 110%. Are you with me? At 110%, you're not covering the basics. You are dying. We have the lowest amount of anybody in the world. Okay? So we got 58% what?
Disposable.
And that's kind of good for you, isn't it? How are we going to spend it, okay? That's why most people, if they like their Hummer, say what? I just like it. I'm going to drive. I don't care. That's French for it. But let me try to frame the economy. Just a couple more, and then we'll get to the future that's really important. And this one drives me absolutely to drink, too. Lots of things drive me to drink, but I like to drink. But and this one, have you heard this one? America doesn't produce anything anymore. We're not a manufacturing society anymore. Because you see, remember the 80s? Anybody remember the 80s that followed up after the little problem? 7 of the 10 largest banks in the world, and it seems Japan was the only country that read Edward Deming's work. And our great vaulted steel industry left and went to Japan, and Japan was going to own every damn thing on the planet. I'm not making light of Japan. I'm just telling you that was the attitude in the 80s. We lost it. We don't produce anything anymore. Well, did you know none of the 10 largest banks in the world today are Japanese? Japanese don't own us, and our vaulted steel industry that left to go to Japan supposedly is now back. We are the number one high quality, low cost steel producer country in the world. And do not tell me we don't make things anymore. 1947, our economy was $240 billion and manufacturing was 23%. Okay. And true, half of the world's trade that got traded was American goods. Well, hell, we just bombed the hell out of all of Europe, bombed the ever-loving hell out of Japan and the Pacific. Nobody was producing anything but us. So we were half of everything. But manufacturing in America was 23%, and it was a $240 billion economy. And manufacturing today in America is 27% of $14.7 trillion. Are you with me? We manufacture more things today than at any time in history, and we manufacture more things than anybody in the world. Do not tell me China makes everything. China claimed they were the second largest country in the world 3 weeks ago, but nobody believes their damn numbers. They will one day be a very large economy, and probably within a year when we verify some numbers, they'll probably be officially declared bigger than Japan. Okay? But Japan is the second largest economy in the world, is $4 trillion. We're 14.7, are you with me? And 40% of manufacturing in China is I mean, 40% of their economy is manufacturing. 40% of, give them liberal number, 4 trillion, who makes more things? No, we don't make any color television sets anymore. But we make the smartest heart stents on the planet, and the best heavy equipment and farm equipment, and the best airplanes. Are you with me? We manufacture more things today than at any time in history. Don't let anybody ever tell you we're not a manufacturing economy, because since 1947, it's grained a full 4 percentage points of the economy. We make things. But really for you, though, the thing that matters the most are two things. Okay, baby boomers. Is there a relationship between income and education? Kind of. We have 80% more income adjusted for inflation than our parents had at the same point in their life. We spend the least amount ever in history for the basics of life, which means we got the most income, but more importantly, we got the highest disposable income on the planet. Are you with me? But here's more important too. In this one, I got to go back 16 years. I'm going to lob off the first 2 years of this regime because we don't have data. But I'm going to cover 8 years of a Republican and 8 years of a Democrat because this ain't about politics. Okay. My grandmother taught that to me because she had a little needlepoint sign in her home in Erie, Oklahoma. You walked in the front door, it hit you right off the bat, and it said this, very simply this: house rules, no discussion of politics, no discussion of religion, and no discussion of whether championship wrestling is real. And she meant it. It's about politics. And if you lean left or you lean right, you say, oh, it all occurred in one of them. No, folks, trust me, as an economist, statistically, no year is any different. And it is. 16 years ago, 104.4 million households in America collected net worth, not businesses, that's a whole separate category, household net worth, $24 trillion. Today, it stands at, what do you think?
Double?
That's good, you mean? 57 trillion dollars. In Canada, $6 trillion. 16 years ago, it was $2 trillion. Tripled, so have we. Largest amount of net worth that's ever been held by 303 million Americans, and the largest amount of net worth that's ever been held by 31 million Canadians ever in history. There's so damn much money out there, we can't count it. But understand about that 57 trillion in America. 42 trillion of it is held by my father's generation. And actuarially, I will tell you this. In 6 years, 90% of that generation will be dead, and in 10 years, 99% will be dead. You're going to see the largest intergenerational transfer of wealth that's ever occurred in history. Get ready for it. 90% of it in the next 6 years. Damn near all of it in the next 10. Almost none of that is tied to the stock market, because they went through the Great Depression and World War II. Guess what most of that $42 trillion is tied up in? It's tied up in agricultural real estate. It's tied up in other land. It's tied up in the investments they put into small America business, into the dry cleaners, into your businesses, into all kinds of businesses, car dealerships, everything, because they just reinvested it back into what? The thing that made them the money. Almost none of it is tied to the stock market. In fact, a good study by Cornell said before it is all distributed, it won't be $42 trillion. It'll probably be closer to $100 trillion. A bunch of money. They didn't spend it. We will. Or we'll reinvest it, or we'll do something. Okay. Bunch of net worth, bunch of income. Let's talk about the future. Okay. One final PowerPoint too. I don't know, maybe you got it in a high school class or marketing class or management class. A guy by the name of Abraham Maslow. Anybody remember Maslow? Tried to tell us there was Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. Anybody remember that? Remember the first time I heard this in college, I'm thinking, is this crap going to be on the test? It's like, oh, what a crock. What a crock. People go through stages in their lives. Well, Maslow proved to be pretty smart, okay? Because Maslow said this, at the very base, what are humans going to do? Basics of life. Make sure you got food in your belly, make sure somebody's not stealing from you, you're not dying from exposure. That's where my father's generation grew up, folks. Great Depression, World War II. You want an air conditioner? Open a window. Okay? I grew up on a ranch, folks. We had beef every night. It was not steak and prime rib. It was what was called the spent mother cows. Mother cows that were so old they could no longer conceive and have a calf. A 17-year-old cow that is so old she can't conceive doesn't make good prime rib. You'll cook them for 8 hours so you can gum them to death. But my late father was so proud he could put beef on the table, folks. That's not wrong or right. Just so proud to do it. Great Depression, World War II. Be happy you got it. Shut up. Take something out of the bowl at the supper table, put it on your plate, put it on the table. You take it out of the bowl or you're going to eat it. Why? Starving children in the world. Always going to have the guts to say, well, send it to them because I didn't want to eat it. They were so proud. They went through the Great Depression, World War. This was it. Okay? But Maslow said, if you could get beyond this, what would a human do? See, this is culturally neutral. Vietnamese do it just like Chinese, just like Texans. Okay? Culturally neutral. So if you could get beyond this, what would a human do? Next thing is what? Find somebody to share it with, love and acceptance. And then finally at the very top he was what? Self-actualize. Find yourself. I can only hear my late father on that ranch, but I told him I needed to find myself. Find your job is what I'll do. But see, understand this, what I tell you. In 6 years, 90% of this generation is what? Yeah. And in 10 years, 99. Only 4 million of that generation, incidentally, still in the workforce. And they're passing away rapidly. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is the last generation in both Canada and the United States that grew up with this as a mindset. And they'll be gone. See, everything above this, I call it dream space. Oh, you're dreaming here. You just can or won't do anything about it. My father-in-law last week turned 89. He's a retired pharmacist. His dryer broke not too long ago. I go, right, Sears got him on sale, $300. Electric, I'll go grab the pickup. I can have to put it in now. What do you think you told him? I don't need no damn dryer. That's what the sun's for. Yeah, but you ain't had a clothesline 30 years. Oh, it's just about low. Well, it's a 30-year-old Maytag. They don't make belts for him anymore. A week later, he calls me. You know that belt they don't make? I found one. $15. You wanted me to spend $300. Would you come put it on? 6 beers and 12 hours later, I get that damn belt on. He's a retired pharmacist. Can you afford a $300 dryer? Kind of. But not here. Look, dryer breaks in my home, I guarantee you. I'm at Sears in 30 minutes. And I ain't buying just a dryer, am I? I gotta buy a washing machine too, because the colors won't match anymore. Wrong or right, it's just what? What's the mindset? Okay? Get by, make it work. Folks, these were about commodities, the base of life. They saw poverty in the Pacific theater of operation, European theater of operation during World War II. They came back and told our 4,008 institutions of higher education, you need to learn to grow 2 blades of grass where 1 grew before. And we did. Because this was about putting calories on the table. Okay? And we did. In the last 20 years, ladies and gentlemen, 20 years ago, the number of calories available for 4.5 billion people that lived on this planet was 1,300 calories. Okay? You don't live on 1,300 calories. Today, we have 6.6 billion people on this planet, and the number of calories available is 2,700. It worked. Put food on the table, because you got to live first. Okay? And now we have what? Dream space. Let me tell you about dream space. Dream space says, I want organic. I want free-range chickens. I tell people, I grew up on a ranch, we had free-range chickens. Follow them. Watch what they eat. I'll take mine raised on corn and soybeans. Thank you very much. Not wrong or right, it's just what? And I'm not making light of organic. I'm trying to say it in the way I think my late father would say it. What in the hell are you talking about?
But organic food has doubled in the last decade. It's now 3.5% of the food sector. Low gluten and no gluten food wasn't even registered a decade ago. It's now 1.7. Are you with me, folks? We're entering the most differentiated, segmented market at any time ever in history. These people will be gone very rapidly, and in their place will be us. See, baby boomers, we heard these stories, didn't live them. We grew up where? We grew up what? Love and acceptance. That's why we protested on college campuses, smoked dope, did drugs. Hell, we still do drugs. Except it's Prozac and Metamucil now. You think these people would have had a sit-in in a dean's office? I don't think so. Because only 10% graduated from high school, 4% got to graduate from college. And we did what? We raised hell, protested, did all kinds of weird crap. Not wrong or right, it's just our perception is love and acceptance. If you're a baby boomer, you honestly think your grandparents married for a romantic love?
No.
No. All my grandparents loved each other. Did they? Or did your grandparents understand something? Two people staying together, dividing up the labor, at a higher probability of what? Survival. Low divorce rate, because they were more moral than us. Oh, come on. Sociological studies have showed for 6,000 years before the history, no generation is, quote, more moral than the other one. But boy, divorce rate's very high. What? Dream space, because we go, huh? I like the way you look. And 4 years later, she says, and I don't like the way you act. And baby boomers were the first time ever that women got career opportunities that were not what? Linked to a man. Okay? It changed us. Okay? So it's wrong or right, but it changed us. Okay? But the brilliance of Maslow was this. And he said it this way. What is a luxury to one generation becomes a necessity to the next. I said it this way. Once you go up, you don't want to ever go down. Because dream space is complicated space. And it's individual space. And it's differentiated and segmented. And that bodes well mostly for what you're doing. Okay? Because here it comes from. Okay. I not only want organic, I guess I want it aesthetically pleasing too. These people were just happy to build a bridge. Have you seen any bridge being a new bridge constructed near your home? I guarantee you. It's not gray concrete. It's what? Color? Designs on it now? Okay. These people were just happy to have a hard surface road running down the middle of town. These people want the medians what? It's landscaped. Dream space is a space that we're coming back to what I call plants and animals and people, folks. We're finding every day, guess what? Can't have healthy humans and separate them from plants and animals and people. You can try, but the research every day overwhelmingly confirms that you won't. What you're doing, I guarantee you folks, will contribute a big chunk to healthcare. I know you said you're going, what in the hell are you talking about? Well, let me tell you, if you doubt that I do this, I was on a program in North Carolina just a couple of months ago, talking to a group of people in healthcare, and the CEO of a division of a very large company, if I gave you the name of the company, there's not a person in the room that wouldn't know it, I'll tell you privately, it's not the point. But he said to this large group of healthcare people, you know what? We're still going to make those MRI machines and stuff like that. They make very high-tech equipment in one division. He's the CEO of the healthcare division, though. He said, we're going to continue to do those because there's margins in them. But let me tell you what we've decided in my division of healthcare. We're going to spend $8 billion a year for the next 8 years in that portion of healthcare away from the hospital, all the way back to the people's home. That's going to involve very complicated telemedicine systems, record systems. And guess what, folks? Why are they going to try to get into home health care?
our healthcare in a different way. Because they understand this. See, when my late father passed away in 1991, my mom's mom could no longer be cared for by my mom, so they put her in what was called an assisted care facility. We show up at the assisted care facility in 1991, my 87-year-old grandmother in the middle, me on one side, my mom on the other, and she's holding her two cats. What do you think they told her in 1991? No cats. Where'd she grow up? What do you think she said? Okay. My grandson will take them. Which I gladly did. Buttons was a big 22-pound yellow tabby. That's a big cat. He lived 17 years. Jerry was a little back of my bobtail. He got 16 and a half. She got 4 more months. Without 2 things she loved. Let me ask you something. Think she got to see a doctor every day? Absolutely. Got to know him. Loved him. Temperature in the room to her liking? Absolutely. Registered pharmacologist on staff? Get her meds right? Absolutely. Registered dietitian on staff? 3 square meals a day? Absolutely. She got all of this. And none of this. They put up with it. We won't. I'm bringing my dog. And I know you're sitting there going, well, you still, we're going to be in hell. Folks, they're going to put $8 billion for 8 years into all of that system that says this about us. Because I met this gentleman in Saskatoon, Canada a month ago, farmer outside of Sydney, Australia. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I got a farm. I said, what do you make money on? Well, wheat and sheep. But he said, but I got a boutique winery. I've got 13 goats and I make artisan goat cheese. And oh, by the way, my wife just got the first permits for Australia for us to build. We'll start construction soon on Australia's first old folks home. I go, you're going to run it? He goes, oh, no. I'm just leasing them the ground. Because they're going to build it on my farm. So that those people can do what? Smell flowers. Walk among trees. Have a dog. He said, and I'm probably going to sell them a little wine, too. Little artisan goat cheese. See, baby boomers, ladies and gentlemen, we spend that 58% primarily on 2 things. We spend it on entertainment, and we spend them on pets. 2 biggest uses after food and paying the rent. Pets and entertainment. Well, 1890, we had 6.9 million horses. They did all the work. Moved us our freight up down the road, 6.9 million. Today we have 9.3 million. We got 3 million more horses than when they did all the work. And they sure don't pull us our freight up down the road. We, in fact, do what? Pull them up and down the road. Average horse is ridden twice a year. They don't do jack. But we spend $30 billion on veterinary care for them. 79% of us greet our pet first when we come home. 19% greet our spouse first. As my wife told me, if you lick my face the way the dog does, I'd greet you first too. My wife is a landscape architect, and I guarantee you, the first 20 years of her career, she designed commercial parks and commercial buildings. The last 5 years, 100% of her portfolio has been green roofs. First one in the desert southwest, biology building at the University of Texas at El Paso. Green walls, leashless dog parks, riding trails for horses, healing gardens for hospitals, peace gardens for hospice. Plants, animals, people. They're just trying to feed us. We're trying to live a life. Let me tell you one quick story about a cardiologist I met by the name of Bruce Wilson. Go to a website called HeartMath, H-E-A-R-T-M-A-T-H.com. You'll find his resume if you doubt what I'm going to tell you. we presented to a group of medical doctors in California, and I'd already presented, and I said the doctor was one of those people that you meet, you just changes your life. I missed my flight, had to stay over an extra day just to suck up and listen to what this man had to say. He said, I said, what are you going to talk about? He said, well, I'm going to talk about a lot of things, but I'm going to tell him this. He said, you grew up on a ranch, didn't you? And I said, yeah. He said, you ever heard that expression, there's something about women and horses? I said, I've heard it my whole life. He said, I can prove it. I got a way of measuring heart rhythms that show this. 90% of women, within 10 minutes of being in the presence of a horse, the horse and the woman get in cardiac rhythm. Less than 10% of men do. There's something about women and horses. I told that to a very large international veterinary conference. World-class veterinarian came up afterwards and he said, Lowell, I think that's true for men and dogs. I said, you know, you're probably right. I said, I had a Chesapeake Bay Retriever that lived 15 years and 60 days on this planet. She died last December 9th. Last 60 days of her life, if I could have given her one of my kidneys and got another day with her, I would have done that. I don't tell you that as a speech story. To get one more day with that dog, I would have given her a kidney. I would have given her my liver, but it shot to hell. At age 13, she went blind. So for the last 2 years of her life, my wife and I were her eyes. The last year of her life, her get up and go wasn't very good, so my wife and I were getting her up. And once she got her up, and that tail wagged, and she just had to go to the river to swim. I love that dog. What do you think my late father would have said when she went blind? Time to move on. But Dad, it's part of my heart. Plants, animals, people. Prior to World War II, 85% of us were born at home and died at home. Since World War II, 85% of us are born in a hospital and die in one. You want to die in one of them? You want to be in that assisted care facility with one orange plastic chair in the corner looking out on another industrial park? I don't think so. Plants, animals, people, we're going to build assisted care. That's why that company's going to spend $8 billion because they want to know not whether you smoked or not, but do you live with a dog? And can you walk in a park? They're going to master it. And when they do, guess what? You're as much a part of this transformation in healthcare as anybody on the planet. Don't take it lightly, because it is plants and animals and people. Where do you want to live? I don't know about you. I don't want to die in a damned hospital or an old folks' home. Looking at that orange plastic chair in the corner. I'd rather die with my hand on my dog and my wife's hand on my forehead, having just struggled to try to get a little bit more Pinot Noir in there. Not wrong or right, but you. And folks, let me leave you with folks something. If you think my generation's weird, get ready for this one. Because the millennials, they didn't even hear these stories. Bypass love and acceptance altogether. If you doubt that, if you've got a teenager, I guarantee you, they don't go to the prom with a date showing up with a corsage like we did. They go to the prom in what?
Groups,
packs, five of them. One guy, four girls, one guy, whatever. Just, they bypass them all. They're what? Self-actualized. Got it? Oh, every generation prior to them, I guarantee you, no generation drinks any less beer at college. I've been at all. They don't. My generation, X generation, we had fundraisers so we could get enough money to have a keg and pay for a disc jockey for a dance on Saturday night. If we went on spring break, we went to places like Mazatlan, Fort Lauderdale, so we'd get naked and throw rocks at them. 38% of the students that went on spring break this year chose to do a philanthropic cause. Habitat for Humanity. Animal shelters. Are you with me, folks?
they're self-actualizers, and they've never known life that's not what? Wireless. They've never known a life that's not connected. Get ready, folks. We're going to connect every damn thing on the planet. Remember, folks? Remember this technology of flat panel display? It's almost 13 years old. Very complicated technology. The salespeople came to the baby boomers who were in charge of the cell phone companies, and they told us 13 years ago, we can put a TV on a phone. And what do you think we said?
What?
It's a phone. Why in the hell would we want a TV? No, Mama, I don't want the ranch. Wind blows off. It's a phone. 85% of the use of this is now for something other than voice. If you're a BlackBerry nerd like I am, you're a BlackBerry fiend, built by nerds for nerds, you want to turn this thing on, you have to hold the 7 and the 4 down simultaneously, lick the trackball 3 times, and it turns it on. By contrast, my wife has an iPhone, she even looks at it, and it does her laundry. Understand something about, though, and Wired Magazine said it best, though, just a couple of months ago on their cover. The web is dead. Fucking, no, I'm not telling you, the internet. Telling you the web is dead. Plug in a name. I plugged in Toyota yesterday. Got 3,300,000 plus some hits. Real helpful. The web is dead because in the height of this last recession, Apple computers started iApps for the iPhone. My wife showed me the latest one she downloaded. It was a little cartoon character that danced across the screen for like 5 seconds. And I said, is that all the hell it does? She goes, Lord, this was only 99 cents. And I said, Tony, to an economist, 99 cents is damn near a dollar. Last week, 6.1 billion downloads of iApps started July 11, 2008 at about 99 cents, making iApps the most profitable division of Apple computer. No, Mom, I don't want the ring. What app do you want? Let me tell you about this millennial generation that grew up here. Give you one example. I was working with one of them just a month ago in Denver with the National Beef people. People trying to get us to eat more beef. Okay. To a baby boomer, no big deal. I know what a loin looks like. I know what a sirloin looks like. I know how to burn the hell out of them. I can do it. And you know what this millennial stood there and told him? He said, we stand before that meat counter and it's just a big piece of red meat. We don't know if it's a loin, a sirloin, a T-bone. We don't know jack about it. And you know, we don't want to look embarrassed. We don't know how to cook. Because you know this about America. It's true for Canadians too, North America. Average North American spends 13 minutes cooking supper. Look, you don't cook anything in 13 minutes, even with the microwave on high. We're not food cookers, we're food assemblers. If you doubt it, bagged lettuce outsells head lettuce 10 times. Head of lettuce, 62 cents. Bagged lettuce, on average, $4. Outsells it 10 times. Now, if your mother taught you how to make salads, taught you how to take that head of iceberg lettuce, the buddy up there at the top, turn it over, bam, salad. Grabs the core up the middle, leaves fall, salad. Which is more difficult? 10 times. We don't cook, we assemble. So you know what this millennial told the people?
Well, and he said it very clear. He said, we're not tech savvy. Don't call us savvy. Savvy says, means you understand it. We don't understand. We don't understand these things. We're tech dependent. Okay? We won't leave home without it. So guess what I'm going to do? I want to walk up to that counter, take a picture of it, and there'll be an application that does what? Before I can turn it around, it will tell me what?
What it is, how to cook it.
What it is, how to cook it. Oh, by the way, there's a hyperlink on it, and all I got to do is punch a button. And the chef of my choice, Emeril Lagasse, is live telling me why. How to cook it. He said, do that, and we'll buy all the damn beef you got. Don't do it, and we'll buy whatever somebody else does for us that way. They're tech dependent, and they want an application that is not 3,300,000 hits, but an application for what? For them. Make it individual, make it unique. And you own them. Don't sell people products and services. Sell them their dreams. My dream is that for the rest of eternity, after I'm gone, fresh cut flowers will still be put, as I do every day, on Dan Goes Gray. I do it every day. Don't sell me products and services. Sell me fresh flowers for tangos.
What the hell are you talking?
No, Mom, I don't want the man. Have a great time, folks.
Candler. You take any questions?
Yeah, sure, I'll take questions.
Anybody have any questions?
Comments?
Want to know where that ranch was? Good. Thank you again. Our next activity is going to be in the main room again at 2:30. That's an hour. So we're running a little ahead of schedule, unless you want to move the schedule up a little.
Yes, I would. Yeah,
move it yeah. Up. Why don't we move it up? Let's make it 2:00 in the next room. David?
Yes.
Ready. You ready?
Yes.
You do the crow report?
Yes.
And then that'll give us, we'll move the next one up too, and that'll give us more time for BCAP.
Perfect.
Excellent.
That way I can self-actualize.
Excellent. Or self-destruct, whatever.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, I've done drop like
sisters, farm kids, and you just described my sleep. I once told him I was born. He hit me, then he kicked me. He said, hey,
I don't even have one, but I'll tell you what. I'll send you an
okay.
Dan,
okay.
Thank you. Break a leg.
Representation.
How are you?
Yeah.
Probably not. Enjoy it. Good luck to you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you letting me be a part of this.
Thank you for coming.
I'm glad you brought some hands and looked up. You're out in that. When are you moving to shallow water?
We hope to start construction in the next 60 days or so.
And oh, wow. Then,
so it'll probably be sometime in summer, fall next year.
You're going to build a ranch-style home, or what are you going to build?
We're going to build a one-level center courtyard focused inward, because we've got 20 acres of nothing on it.
Good. So you're out what direction?
The only thing I'm going to put on it is a windmill. A power generator.
Yeah. Are you?
Right.
Try to be off the grid, or are you going to be on it?
I'll be on the grid. But we work at home. We consume a lot of power. The design is very open, a lot of glass. It's going to take a lot of heat. We're going to generate it all.
And that country.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, it's a 3, 4, 5.
Well, you know, in the last 5 years, these people I visit with on the wind generation and solar cells, too. I mean, every day the temperature, I mean, the ability. The